It's completely quiet. The machines aren't going. There's no machine noises. Everybody is tired from the flight, so they're not really talking. And everyone is looking exactly at this opening. 450 people. 900 eyes looking at one place. And nothing is coming out, nothing is happening. Now, this certain yid, who is a chassid, is also standing there. And he's looking at the people, and he's looking at the opening. And Kinalach, this is why I'm saying as a Hasidic Shemaisa, because he understands by himself that this is a chance now to bring some Halakite, to bring Hashem's Halakite into the world. In other words, now Hashem has made this situation. This is Hashkacha Pratis. This is now happening from Hashem. This Chassid, and this is why it's a Chassidus Shemaisa. He knows that this thing is happening from Hashem, that so many people are gathered together, most of them Yidden. Everyone is quiet. They're watching this opening for suitcases to come out. And he's standing there too. And he realizes that over here is a chance to bring some Halakhite, some godliness, to sort of like uncover the outside of what's going on and bring out the halakha spark of why this is happening from Hashem in the first place. And he realizes this. This is what a chassid is supposed to do, to be able to know what to do. Nobody told him. He feels in himself, he feels deep down inside, right now in this situation, I know what I have to do. And I have to just hop a line, jump into it, and do it. Even though it might be hard. Even though I might feel a little bit afraid, a little bit foolish, but I know this has to be done, and I'm the one that has to do it, and I have to do it right now before it's too late. And all of a sudden, this chassid got up right in front of everyone. And he said, "May I have your attention, please? I would like to speak to everyone now." Of course, at first, everybody's going to think, you know, what is this man nuts? What's he doing? And you see this yid with a beard, with a hat, getting up and say, "I want to speak to everybody." And he stood right next to the doorway where all the suitcases are supposed to come out. So everybody's looking over there anyway. But he knew he had to do this. And he says, "Everyone is now waiting for their suitcase to come out. And for whatever reason, it's not coming out. But everybody is still just looking right at the place that the suitcase is coming out, knowing that any second their suitcase could come out. And they're waiting. And they know they could go away for 5 or 10 minutes and wait till the suitcase comes out and then go back to find it. But no, they don't want to even go away for even 5 minutes or even a minute. They're waiting there. Maybe their suitcase will come out right now and they want to get it. They want to be right there when it comes out. They don't want to miss when their suitcase comes out." Of course, everybody's wondering, of course, I mean, that's what we're doing. What's this man saying? And he says, "Everything that happens in the world that a yid sees, a yid hears, and we're all seeing this now happening. This is a chance, this is an opportunity to learn something about Hashem. What can we learn from this right now?" And he says, "We can learn a very important thing about Mashiach." It says in the Torah that each and every day, and the whole day, and every minute of the day, we have to wait for Mashiach to come. Ani mamin ba'emun ha'shleima b'vias ha'Mashiach. V'af al pi sheyisma mea, even though he'll take a long time, im kol ze'ach ha'keloi. Even still, nevertheless, I will wait for him. B'chol yoin, every day, the whole day, I'm waiting the whole time. Sheyavoi, and he'll come, I know he'll come. Exactly when, I don't know, but I'm always waiting for Mashiach to come. Shh. And a Yid should always have in his mind, Mashiach will come now. But unfortunately, the Yetzirah sometimes says, oh, it's been so long. Even though the Torah says that, but Mashiach didn't come. And Chas v'Shalom, a person might think, so maybe he won't come. And he says, this is exactly the lesson of now. If we keep our minds always on Mashiach, like the Torah says, and we know the Torah promised us that Mashiach is coming, and we keep looking for Mashiach and waiting for him, like the Torah says, and not taking our mind away and not going away, then we know Mashiach will come. So even more, you know that your suitcases will come any minute. And you're waiting for your suitcase to come. So even more so, if you wait for Mashiach to come, for sure he's going to come. And the more you wait, and the more you think about it, and the more you are thinking about Mashiach coming, the quicker he's going to come. And it's even more sure than your suitcases come. Because nobody promised that your suitcase is coming, but the Torah promised Mashiach is coming. And as he's saying these words, all of a sudden, just as he's saying the words, as soon as he finished what I told you, all of a sudden all the machines started going, and everybody knew now that suitcases would come out. And right then, the first suitcase that came out was this Yid suitcase. Of course, he didn't know that it was going to come out, but the Ashkaka practice was that that was the next suitcase that was going to come out, and it came out, and he had a big sticker on the suitcase. There was a picture of the Rebbe, and there was a big sticker, and it said, Welcome Mashiach. And this suitcase is now coming out the first, and everybody sees the big picture that says, of course, it was the Rebbe's picture there, and a big sticker that says, Welcome Mashiach. And everybody was completely quiet, seeing that as soon as he said, if you think about Mashiach coming, Mashiach will come, and all of a sudden the suitcase comes out, Welcome Mashiach. And everybody was just so surprised and so like feeling the truth of his words. And he picked up his suitcase and he walked to the door where they checked the tickets over there and he left. And everybody was watching. Now, there's a lot to learn from this story. The first thing to learn from this story is, like I said, what is a chassid? What is a chassidish yid? That they know that everything Hashem created in the world, and every chance is a chance to bring Hashem into the world, and also not to be afraid of what people will think of you. Here, this yid got up in front of everyone. He didn't care what they thought of him. He says he knew this is what he has to do, and he starts to speak about what has to be learned at that time about Mashiach. And he wasn't afraid. And of course, to give us a strength in the belief that Mashiach will come any time. Even more than suitcases coming out. You know suitcases will come out. You know if you just wait a few extra minutes, your suitcase will come out. Now, the same thing and much more. If we keep thinking about Mashiach, and learning about Mashiach, and having our minds on the Torah's promise that Mashiach will come, for sure Mashiach will come very soon. And especially because the Rebbe promised Mashiach was coming. The Rebbe said, Ot kumt Mashiach is coming very soon. And this is what a tzaddik said, the Rebbe said. And whatever a tzaddik says, Hashem does what the tzaddik says. So nobody chas v'shalom should give up and say, Ay, the Rebbe passed away. And the Rebbe promised it before, so how can it happen now if the Rebbe passed away? Can Allah, this is no contradiction. If the Rebbe said, that's what's going to be. And you just do what you have to do, and hopefully, Meretz Hashem, Bez Hashem, Hashem will do what he has to do. And we can't figure out everything. We don't have to figure out everything. And I'll tell you something more. This is like when Avram took Yitzchak to the Akedah. Hashem said, take your son to make him a korban. It didn't make any sense. How can you do that? The Torah says not to kill a person. How can I make my son a korban? It didn't make any sense. You couldn't figure it out. But still he went ahead and did it. And in the end, it wasn't a contradiction. All he said was, offer him up to be a korban. He didn't say, shecht him. He said, make him a korban. He didn't say, shecht the korban. So even in the beginning, he couldn't figure it out. In the end, he saw everything made sense. The same thing, we have the Shaila. The Rebbe said, Mashiach is coming. And then the Rebbe passed away. So what could be? We can't figure it out. How could we go on believing what the Rebbe said, Atat kum Mashiach, if the Rebbe passed away, and Kenlach, we can't figure everything out. Even Avram couldn't figure everything out. But did he give up and he says, I can't figure it out, forget it, I'm not going to do what Hashem said? Or did he say, I can't figure it out, but I know what I have to do, and I'm going on to do what I have to do? That's what he said. I'm going on to do what I have to do. And in the end, Hashem did what he had to do, and it didn't. It wasn't a problem. Does a Yid do according to what he figures out, or what according to what Hashem says? And what if we can't figure it out? Do we stop or we keep going on? Okay, the same thing now. At Tzaddik, our Tzaddik, the Rebbe said, Mashiach is coming. And this is a promise. And he says he's coming very soon. He's coming in our generation. And then the Rebbe passed away and we can't figure out how everything is fitting together, like the puzzle. But it's not up to us to figure it out. We just have to go on doing what we have to do. Like that chassid in the story. He says, right now, this is what I have to do. And look what happened. He did that, and a tremendous Kiddush Hashem and a big lesson about Mashiach came through. So I think that's also a lesson for us. We do what we have to do, and that's going to bring Mashiach very, very quickly. If you go on with a shtarkeit and do what you have to do, and not go into all kinds of shilas and try to understand everything, you just say, this is what I have to do, this is what's going to bring Mashiach the fastest. And not waste time trying to figure out, how is it going to be, and what's going to be, and start arguing with somebody, no, it's going to be different. We can't figure everything out. We just have to do what we have to do with Mesiras Nefesh. That will bring Mashiach the fastest, and the quickest, and the best, and in a way that's going to be a Kiddush Hashem that everybody can see. In the town of Beshenkovich, the town of Reb Shmuel Munkis, one day a wonderful thing was happening, and then a terrible thing was happening. Listen to what happened, and then we'll see if it was wonderful or terrible in the end. Where was Reb Shmuel Munkis? In shul, like usual. What was he doing? He was farbrenging with the younger Hasidim, because they came to him to learn about Torah and mitzvahs and how to behave like a chassid. And the best way to do that is to farbreng together and to become very close with Torah and chassidus and the Eibishter. And all of a sudden during the farbrengen, and all of a sudden during the farbrengen, they hear a scream outside, fire, fire, there is a fire. Everybody runs out to help put out the fire. In those days, the houses were made out of wood, and the roofs were made out of dry grass, and the houses were attached or very close one to the other. And if there was a fire, it would spread very, very fast. And in a small town, there was no fire station with fire engines or fire wagons. They had to go to the river. And everybody is carrying buckets of water to the fire. And all of a sudden they say, oi, you know whose house is on fire? Reb Shmuel Munkis' house is on fire. And there was a big fire. And they say, Reb Shmuel Munkis, your house is burning down. And it was such a fire, you couldn't even go inside to save all the stuff. Now, Baruch Hashem, nobody was in the house, so there's nobody, Chas Shalom, to get hurt, but all the stuff was in the house, and you could not get into the house to save anything. And when Rabbi Shmuel Munkis got there, he sees his house burned down with everything he owned burned down. And of course, everybody is wondering, oi, a fire destroying everything. How is Reb Shmuel Munkus going to react? Now, of course, the Hasidim, just like in the shul, when they were learning from Reb Shmuel Munkus how to behave like a Yid, here they want to learn from Reb Shmuel Munkus how to behave like a Yid, because here is a real life situation. A person's house burns down, and what's he going to do? And they noticed first his face is looking at it. He's not crying, and he doesn't even look upset. It's just like he's watching something happening. And everybody else is so excited or crying or so upset. And Reb Shmuel Munkus doesn't seem so upset. He's just looking at it. Like he's just looking at something interesting. And they wonder, what's he going to do now? All of a sudden, Reb Shmuel Munkus, he closes his eyes. And he starts saying this, Baruch Atah Hashem. Oi, he's making a bracha. Everybody says, Baruch Baruch Shemoi. Elokeinu Melech Olam. They say, what bracha is he going to say? What bracha is he going to say? He's making a bracha. He's thanking Hashem. What is a bracha? He's thanking Hashem. What bracha is he going to say? Somebody says, he's probably going to say the bracha, Dayan Ha'emes. Now, if Chas V'Shalom, somebody dies, or there's a terrible tragedy, a person, according to the halachas tell a person how to do this, they say a bracha to Hashem, Dayan Ha'emes, that even though this terrible thing happened, but to us it looks terrible, somehow, some way, from Hashem, it was only for the best, because Hashem is good and everything He does is good. So we thank Hashem with our amuna, with our faith in Hashem, that this was good, even though to us it feels and looks like a terrible thing. They say he probably is saying the bracha Dayan Ha'emes because his house burned down and he lost everything. Well, Reb Shmuel is still in the middle of the bracha. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. And all of a sudden he opens up his eyes with a big smile, Shelay Asani Goy. He said the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shelay Asani Goy. Who knows that we say that bracha in the morning? And all of a sudden, people are wondering, he didn't say Dayan Ha'emes, that Hashem is the true judge, and it's such a serious thing and a tragedy. He makes a bracha, he's smiling, and he says, Shalei Asani Goy? After he had a fire and his house burned down, why is he making a bracha, Shalei Asani Goy? And why is he smiling? What's there to be happy about? And of course, this is a chance to learn something, a Torah thing, a Hasidus thing, a Halakha thing, an Emesa thing, because Reb Shmuel, whatever he did, was not just a joke, or not just Stama thing. Everything he did was very, very thought out and pnimiistic. He did everything with his whole neshama, in a true way. He was a true person. And they gather around Reb Shmuel, and one of the Talmidim, one of the Hasidim asked Reb Shmuel, why did you make the bracha? Shalei Asani Goy, we want to learn from you. And this is the answer. And in fact, everything is Hashkacha Pratis, because not only I can tell you what it says in this story, but yesterday I happened to find a medrash that also goes along perfectly with the story, as you will hear. Just yesterday I found it after lunch. Hashkacha Pratis. And I never saw it before. Reb Shmuel Munkus said to the people, he said, a goy, even a religious one in his house, he has his getchkes in his house. If he has a fire and his house burns down, the getchkes burn down with the house. And he says, oh, my house burned down, and my getchkes burned down, and everything is lost, everything is finished. and he cries, and he's got nothing left in his life. The house burned down, his getchkes burned down, and there's nothing left. He's completely destroyed. And Reb Shmuel Munke said, was Hashem destroyed, chas v'shalom, by the fire? Did Hashem survive the fire? Hashem did not get destroyed from the fire. Which means that even though my house burned down and all my things burned down, Hashem, did he burn down? Did Hashem burn down? Or Hashem is still there? Now, the Shmuel Munke said, before the fire, Hashem was taking care of me. And now, after the fire, Hashem is still taking care of me. Did anything change because of the fire? Or is Hashem still taking care of me? And even while the fire was going, it must be also Hashem was taking care of me. By making the fire, Hashem was taking care of me. Why do I have to be upset? What is the most important thing in my life? My clothes, my shoes, my furniture, my house, or Hashem? What's the most important thing?
Hashem.
Hashem is the most important thing. And Hashem is still there, taking care of me. Now, if chas v'shalom, a person believed in a getchke, and the getchke was destroyed in the fire, is the getchke there to take care of him anymore? No. No house, no getchke, nothing. Completely destroyed. So Reb Shmuel Munke is saying, Kandalach, that just because he lost everything, he didn't lose Hashem. Now, I want to tell you this very interesting medrash. Listen closely, because it's really perfectly with this story and this time. This week is Parshas Bechukosai. In this week's Parsha are 49 curses. For 49 terrible things this week, and it's close to Shavuos, because next week is going to be Parshas Bamidbar and then Shavuos. Now, in the end of the summer, there's a Parsha called Kisavoy. In that Parsha are 98 curses, 98 terrible things. Then comes Parshas Nitzavim. Do you know what the word Nitzavim means? Now this medrash is really by Parshas Nitzavim, but it's perfect also for now. Nitzavim means when Yidden are standing strong. And the medrash says, after 98 curses of Parshas Kisavoy, all kinds of terrible things, chas v'shalom, to happen, how can the Yidden survive? How can they take it? And why is the Parsha Nitzavim standing strong after 98 curses? Can you stand strong? What happens if chas v'shalom 98 terrible, terrible things happen? What would happen to a person? They would be knocked down on the floor. All of a sudden, Nitzavim, the Yidden are standing strong. The Medrash says, how could it be? The Yidden asked Hashem, how could it be? There's 98 curses. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu, how could we stand strong after 98 curses? And Moshe Rabbeinu answers, Yidden are not like the nations of the world. You know what happens by the nations of the world when things go wrong? They start getting upset. You know whose fault it is? It's the leader's fault. It's our getchke's fault. It's the king's fault. It's the president's fault. It's the government's fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Who remembers Mr. Snakey in Gan Eden? Who remembers what happened in Gan Eden when Adam and Chava ate from the tree and Hashem got upset? Whose fault did Adam say it was? Chava's fault. Whose fault Did Chava say it was? Snakey's fault. And if Hashem would have given a chance for Snakey to talk, he would have also blamed somebody. But he didn't give him a chance to talk, because by Snakey, in Snakey land, everybody blames everybody else. If something goes wrong, where should you look? At somebody else or yourself? You look at yourself. So Moshe Rabbeinu answered the Yidden, shh, if something happens to the Yidden, they don't blame everybody else. Unfortunately, the nations, you know who also they blame? They blame the Eibishter, if they believe in the Eibishter. Or they blame their Getchkes. They blame somebody else. A Yid says, why did Hashem do this? It must be for me to do tshuva. It must be to make me strong. And then, after whatever happens, a Yid is nitzavim, he's standing strong. Because he doesn't blame somebody else. He says, I have to become now better and be stronger to get through this terrible thing. And he doesn't blame Hashem, chas v'shalom, and he doesn't blame somebody else. He does tshuva by himself. And then he stands strong. This is what Reb Shmuel Mungus was saying. The house burned down. Was it a terrible thing that you get upset? Or it happened from Hashem? It happened from the Eibishter. It must have been something that Hashem wanted to happen to make me stronger. And so, I'm not going to get upset. And I'm not going to blame somebody. I'm just going to be stronger. And that's it. Let's not wait for later. You know, like we say in my class, all you have really is now. How long is now? Okay, watch my fingers. I'm snapping my fingers. Bang. That's now. It's over. Now is over. Now, what happened a minute ago, is it still happening now? No. So what happened before, you don't have. What's going to happen in a minute later, did it happen yet? No. So you don't have that either. The only thing you have is right now. If you're wasting your time right now and you're not listening, or you're thinking about later, or you're thinking about before, then you have absolutely nothing. You don't have now, you don't have later, you don't have before. The most you could have is right now. Shh. So use your concentration, your kavana, use your cup, use your brain, and listen right now. That's the most you can have, is right now.